was having all that rain, I couldn't really inject any fertilizer because I didn't want to get my dirt wet. What I did was I took me some of that Chilean nitrate and I sprinkled it down the side of the row. Yep. And then I took my wheel hoe. You know, some people take a plow blade and fold it in, but I just took the wheel hoe and cultivated alongside there and buried it. And boy, this stuff really, really took off after that. It ain't quite headed up as much as it should be, but it's pretty good to eat right
there. That's what you call baby romaine.
Baby romaine. And this, it'll tighten up a little bit more as it grows. This is that Paris Island variety. Yeah. You want to try a piece? I just washed it off for
you. Well, I got a lot of great lettuce growing too, and mine's it's been hunkering down. It's been going the last few days. It's been warm weather. It's been really kicking it off. But this is my favorite lettuce, and I love growing lettuces. This is my favorite lettuce to eat.
Yeah, I like the butter crunch pretty good. This romaine's, yeah. And you got this ain't got E. coli or nothing on it. That's got some real good flavor
to it.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Row by Row Garden Show. I'm Travis.
I'm Greg.
And we're glad to have you with us this evening. We're just over here talking about some of this lettuce we got growing. Eating a snack and talking smack. This is the Paris Island variety, which we have on our site. You can go check that out with all of our new vegetable seeds there on the site. This one here grows really well all throughout the winter for us. And if you live in a southern climate, start you some of this right now and get
that's what we're using in Caesar salad, correct?
Caesar salad. You can also take these, if you'll hold that one for me.
Make you a wrap.
Me and the wife like to take us some shrimp, or you can go get you some chicken and wrap it up right there. Maybe put you a little bit of mayonnaise and cheese on it, wrap it up like that. Good little low-carb snack.
Mm-hmm. Eating hip.
Eating healthy. Speaking of seeds, our seed room is done.
99%. 99%. We still got a couple of things we want to do before we do a show off.
That's right. We got the humidity unit put in there, got all the lights put in there, got all the seeds moved out of the office into there. We still got a few more shelves put up. Still got about 20 to 30 varieties that we'll be adding to the site daily. Speaking of lettuce, we've got some really good pelleted lettuce coming in, some hybrid improved varieties that I think everybody's going to really like. We got a red romaine, a hybrid butter crunch, a red hybrid butter crunch called Skyphos that I've been growing several years.
Yeah, I got some of that growing now in the raised bed out there, and it's done well.
So keep an eye on all those new seeds coming in. The pelleted lettuce, for the hybrid varieties, the reason we do the pelleted, same reason we'll do the pelleted on the hybrid tomatoes, is those seeds are a little more pricey. And when you're putting them in the seed trays, you want to make sure you just get one per tray.
And it's just a lot easier to seed by hand. It just makes a world of difference there with those pelleted seeds versus those raw seeds. Because raw lettuce seeds, small, light, and fluffy, and they're hard to manage.
That's right. On last week's show, we talked about preparing a new garden. We mentioned what we were going to be doing at my house. Well, this weekend, we got out there with the tractor and got up all those pine trees. And it didn't take us about a couple hours or so. I'll show a little clip here of popping one of them up. It took you a little bit to get the hang of it, but you got
it. It was a little wet out here.
Yeah.
A little wet, yeah.
But they scooped right up. We got them up, and we just got to burn those off and hair it, and we'll lay it out. And we'll make sure to kind of walk you through all that, take some footage of that. And I wanted to show you.
Oh yeah. So y'all remember what's been 5 or 6 weeks ago? Maybe not that long. We showed y'all how to do root of fig cutting. Well, this is the one we actually did on the show here with my little mini greenhouse here.
So when did you take the cap off of it?
I took the cap off about a week ago. Well, don't you look at there how it's budding out there. So I already get some nice roots on there.
That's pretty.
Now I'll move this, I've had it in the office here in the windowsill. I'll move this out to the greenhouse probably in a day or two, and you would be surprised what that thing will do in the next 4 weeks. By this springtime, I'll have to move that up to a bigger pot or either put it in the ground. It'll be growing like crazy. Be ready to put out in the put it out wherever we want to put it.
When you ain't looking, that one's subject to disappear.
Yep.
So end up my house.
And I got some more going. I got some more. But that one's looking good. There you go.
How long do you leave that on there?
You leave that on there till you start getting some good true leaves and you can pull it off. You want this right here. That creates a high humidity in there, and that's needed for that thing to root. So once it starts putting out leaves, you can take your top off there, and a day or two later, you take off. So I'll probably leave that off right there right now, and I'll put this on some others out there.
And then once you get a nice root ball in there, you ready to go in the ground?
I'll either go in the ground or I'll move it up to a bigger pot.
Step it up to a gallon pot.
It's cold what time. If the cold's out of here or not and all that, well, I just play that by ear. Yes, you can go directly from that into the ground.
And that's that purple closed eye variety, yep. If I'm correct.
Yep, that's correct.
Good deal. So fig trees being propagated, those are coming along good. We can't reveal it, but we've got a potential surprise on the way. Something new on the site that could come in handy for many of y'all in February. So
yeah, working on a little couple of deals. It'd be nice if everything comes through.
So it's going to be something we have a limited supply of if we do have it, but it's going to be really handy, really nice for some of y'all. As far as the main topic of today's show, we wanted to talk about sharp things or knives. And you've kind of got a little bit of a knife fetish. I've got somewhat of one, but not near as severe as you do. And as we go through the show today, if you have any questions about gardening or any of the things we talk about, put those in the comments. We'll be glad to answer them for you.
You know, everybody's got their hang-ups. Mine's boots, hats, and knives. Now, I don't care much about
that's quite a few hang-ups.
Yeah, I can wear any kind of underwear, or my clothes really don't matter a whole lot to me, but my knives, my hats, and my boots is important to me.
Yeah, you'll spend whatever
I'll spend money on those three things, and I'll cut back severely on other things.
Yeah, you might be down to one or two pair of underwear.
I might be down, and they may be a little holy and whatever, wore down
but
thin.
But you got plenty of
but
hats
but I got
and
plenty
knives.
Of hats and boots and knives.
So we wanted to, on this week's show, talk about knives we find useful in the garden and kind of around the homestead. We want to first talk about some of the ones that we sell on our website that we like and we find useful and hence why we carry them. And then we like to branch out and show you some that we have personally that we like that we don't carry, which is not all about just promoting what we sell, but kind of showing you what we like you can get other places too. So let's start off, before we show any knives, let's talk a little bit about knife blades real quick. You got kind of two main types. You got high carbon steel, and you got stainless steel. And there's a lot of variations with each of those.
Well, it can actually get a lot more complicated than that. You can go as far as you want to. We'll keep it down to that simple, but you can get into laminated steels, you can get into some powdered steels, you can get into all different kinds of stuff. But we'll narrow it down, for the most part, for the basic knives, to stainless and high carbon. My preference being high carbon. High carbon is those old steels that your granddaddy had, that case knife, and it turned black, got the patina on there. They were so crazy about. A lot of these newer companies have gone to these stainless steel blades because the newer generation don't understand that patina or that black blade, and they don't like it get tarnished. They want it to be nice and shiny. So we've seen a lot of shift from those high carbon blades to the stainless. I'm not a huge fan of the stainless, with one exception. I do like Buck's 440 stainless, but Case is what they call their their surgical steel, and a lot of these other companies.
So surgical steel is code word for what?
No, they won't tell you what it is.
Poo-poo.
Poo-poo.
So if you see something, if somebody's advertising
surgical steel,
you'll see it on these infomercials on TV. Surgical steel, that means it's garbage.
Yeah, pretty much. So these stainless steels I'm not a big fan of, and I like the high carbon steels. They're easy to sharpen, they hold a good edge, and most anybody can sharpen one.
High carbon's good metal. A lot of our hoes and garden tools are made out of high carbon steel. High carbon steel is a little softer, mm-hmm. which means it sharpens easier. it's probably not going to hold a edge maybe quite as long as stainless will, because it is a little softer.
Well, that it's according to the hardness of it. Some of it that's done right, some of the high carbons that's done right with the heat treat is can be right on up there.
Okay. And but you got to take a little bit more care of the high carbon steels.
Right.
Whereas the stainless steels, you don't have to worry about, you know, oiling them down and keeping them wet, but they're also going to take a little longer to sharpen.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got a lot of these, like you mentioned, a lot of these improved stainless steels out there nowadays.
And tool steels, you can throw that in there. It can get complicated.
There's what, a D4?
A2, there's many of them.
Quite a few of them out there on some of the high-end knives that they come out with. So let's get into some of the knives we sell. And we'll start off with the, I think all of ours are high carbon, actually. We kind of like those. This one right here is called the Bush Lord.
Now, this is my personal knife that I've been using, so this ain't straight out of the box. It's got a little, you can tell I've been using it there. This is our Bush Lord walnut handle. This is 1080 high carbon.
And that is a fine knife right there for the money.
Yep.
And then similar to that one, same kind of style and whatever, we have our
Sabin, which is a little bit smaller handle knife. It's a little bit smaller knife, but it a lot of the
you
people with
there.
Smaller hands or that prefer a smaller knife like this one. And it's kind of like
a paring knife.
A big paring knife.
But you could cut greens with it. It's high carbon steel, comes really sharp out of the box. You get a nice leather sheath with that. That's called the Sapien knife. We really like that one. And then on to some of our others. So we carry a complete line of the old kitchen knives that your grandma had, the old hickory knives. And we've got some that are made for harvesting and some that are kind of made more for the kitchen or food preparation. We'll look at some of the harvesting ones here. This one here is what we call our cabbage knife.
Yep.
You'll see some other companies maybe call this the lettuce knife. This is made by Ontario Knife Company, made in the USA. And for cutting greens,
cabbage,
lettuce, this right here is money. This is, we're close to being one of the biggest cabbage producers.
We are. Our county is the largest cabbage producer this side of Mississippi, I know, and I would dare to say in the United States. But I know this side of Mississippi, in the eastern United States, we got it covered.
And the guys out in the field cutting cabbage, this is what they use right here. They carry them a file in the back pocket and keep it sharp and keep it cut up.
Yep. The sister of that one is the lettuce knife, is what we call it. They call it cotton sampler knife. But it's the same thing. It's got a little larger blade.
We call that the California knife.
California style. Some people call it a lettuce knife or several different names it goes by in the field out there. It's got a larger blade you can push in there. High carbon steel, Ontario.
That one, I use this one a lot for cutting broccoli and cauliflower because you can push that point in there. Then we have kind of the big daddy here. You can see the packaging. That's what we call a watermelon knife.
That's a stainless steel blade on that one.
That one does have a stainless steel blade. That one's got a rubber kind of handle on that, but it's still full tang, and that's your big baby right there for cutting those big fruits like your watermelon, stuff like that.
And the standard, we carry all the different sizes. I think we carry all of the kitchen knives for the old hickory. I think we carry all the different models of them.
Yeah, so we've got a 10-inch butcher, a 7-inch butcher. We've got the cleaver, the slicer, the boning knife, and then two paring knives. And I love these from the kitchen. This one's probably the one I use the most is this 8-inch slicer here. I really like that one. This is a multi-use knife. And this high carbon steel, it sharpens up so nice. And then to get that, what'd you call it?
Patina.
Patina, get that nice little seasoning on it that looks really good.
Now let's move on to the outdoor knives that we like. And you've got a few that's on your favorite list, and I got a few that's on my favorite list of different brands out there that we don't necessarily sell.
That's right. And some of these are easy to find. Some of them are a little harder to find. And we'll go. You want to go first?
Yeah, me started off by saying we're not covering the whole gamut of knives here. We're going to cover a small portion of it because it goes all the way up to several thousand dollars on some very high-end knives to very cheap knives that you can get for $2 or $3 a piece. We're not going to cover either one of those. We're going to stay in the middle somewhere where we think most people like us like to stay. Good knives, but not extraordinarily expensive because you can spend what you want to on a knife.
Right.
That being said, let me go ahead with my first one, which is a company that makes these knives right here. And this particular one is a Blackjack model, which is the Blackjack brand is based off the Randall knives. And if you're familiar with Randall knives, it's made down in Florida. They're very collectible and they're fixed blades with a company out of Michigan called Bart River. Makes this brand here called Blackjack knives, and these knives are great. It's tool steels, most of them are A2s, and they can go on up to different types of steels. This particular one right here is A2 steel.
It has been used a little bit.
It's been used. It's got a convex blade on there. These babies are sharp. You're looking in a $200-something range for these knives right here, and they come with nice leather sheaths, made in the USA.
All right. My turn?
Yep.
Okay, so my first one, I'll show you. And this one comes in, is it called a Mole or Mole sheath?
Whatever you want to call
M-O-L-L-E it. M-O-L-L-E sheath. And this one right here is made by a company called Essie. And this one's even got my name on it.
Yep.
It's got what I call the micarta scales or handle on it. It's kind of like a hard fabric. That it's really easy to grip. This one's got the coating on it, but this one's high carbon steel.
Yeah, that's $10.95 right there.
And they make these in these Essies. Essie is E-S-E-E. They make these in several different sizes, but I really like this 3-inch here, and I keep this in my little garden buggy, and really nice little handy. It's kind of my camping knife. I take this, if I'm going out in the woods, going fishing or whatever, put it on my belt, good to go.
USA made knife somewhere in around $100 range.
Yeah, about 100, 120 on these right here.
All right. Now this is the Bart River knife. I just told you the other company, the other brand that they make there. This is the Bart River, and they have several different of their own designs. This is called the Michigan Bowie.
That's a lot of knife
right
there.
That's a lot of knife right here, and it's same convex edge there. And this one, I believe, is A2 steel, which is a tool steel that they use to make dies and tooling for stamping, which is a very hard steel. Can be a little bit hard to sharpen, but man, it holds the edge.
What do you use that one for? Scaring people?
Or whatever you want to. That is the Michigan Bowie. I got a thing for big knives. I just like big knives. But anyhow, yeah. There we go with
you. Better have your pretty good sized belt if you're going to wear that one. Okay, my next one here, we're going to drop down in price a good little bit. These things right here, they're made in Sweden. It's called a Mora knife, and they make several different styles. And if you just need you a kind of a cheaper knife to keep around the garden, you can't go wrong with these right here. And I use these for cutting greens sometimes. If I'm doing some work on some drip tape, I'll keep this handy. They got a rubber handle there on them. This one's stainless, but they sell a high carbon version. You can get these on Amazon for $15 or so. And for the money, that's a hard knife to beat right there. It comes with a little plastic sheath with a belt loop on it. And I really like those Mora knives.
All right, back to me. Buck, as I mentioned earlier, is the only company I know out there that does a low-end stainless, a cheaper stainless that works out good. They got a 440 steel. And they're regular knives that they got proprietary heat treat on that they do a really good job. And Buck knives, for the most part now, are all made in USA. So they made a couple special knives in the last couple years that I picked up that I like. I really like the Buck 110. And these are some special runs of the Buck 110. This one right here has got...
You had to get two of them.
I had to get two of them, and I'll show you why. This is the green micarta handle, which I really like. And this is a CV... Excuse me, it is a CS30V, which is a special run steel. This is not the 440 stainless, this is a kick above. They made a few of these knives, and this S30V stainless tool steel type blade that I like. They also make it, and this right here, and this has the black G10 scales, I believe, but I want you to watch this right here.
Oof.
So this is their automated knife.
That's fast.
Yep.
Those are illegal in some states, ain't they?
Yep. And they got this right here is in the same type steel I just told you about, that S30V. So
that's pretty slick.
It is pretty slick.
My next one here is from a company y'all probably never heard of before. This is kind of almost a little custom deal. So there's a company in LaGrange, Georgia, and they're called Sharks Knives, if I'm pronouncing that. It's like sharks, spelled sharks with a E after the A. And they make these in all different sizes. This one here, they call the Little Mook. And man, for skinning deer or whatever, this is my perfect size knife right here. This is high carbon steel.
1095.
And I probably need to get a little sharpen on that, but it's got a little leather sheath, perfect little small carry knife, great for skinning animals, cleaning up, stuff like that.
All right, so if you do like the old traditional knives, like the case knives, and you're a traditional kind of guy, there's a company out of, out of New York State or something called Great Eastern Cutlery.
Cutlery.
And they make, this particular brand is a North brand, but it's made by that same company, and they make two or three brands. This is a Northwoods, but their main brand is called Great Eastern Cutlery.
Cutlery.
And they make some great knives, 1095 hard carbon steel, but they do it right. And why don't you look at there? They got some nice designs.
That's what I call old school grandpa knives.
Old school traditional knives. If you like old school traditional knives, now these are going to cost more than the case knives.
Yeah.
But it's a heck of a lot better grade knife to me, in my opinion. And check them out. Great Eastern
Cutlery. It's kind of segueing on that. I personally am not a big fan of that style of knife.
Because, each to their own.
Because it takes too long to get the blade out of there. So these last two I've got fall in more of the category of what we call EDC, which stands for everyday carry. So this is kind of like my everyday pocket knife. And the first one I want to show you is this one right here. This is a Kershaw. Now with Kershaw, you got to be a little careful because these Kershaws that are made overseas and these ones that are made in the USA. So the ones that are made in the USA usually run you about $50 or $60. This one here is called the Leek. And it's got a nice pointed blade on it. It used to flip open fast like that buck knife, but it's needs some oil on it. This one right here, I carried every day for about the last 3 or 4 years. I even one time put it almost all the way through my hand.
Had to make a little trip to merch room, didn't
we? And we had a blood shower in the office there. But this one here, if you for $50 or $60, a good pocket knife is hard to beat. And that baby stays sharp pretty good. Nice little pocket knife. My kind of favorite type, they call these assisted opening.
I'm going to share your last one with you, so you go ahead with it.
You going to share my last one with me? Mm-hmm. So segueing from that Kershaw, the reason I don't wear that anymore, I was watching old Wrangler Star the other day, and he got to talking about this right here, which is called a Benchmade 940. And he bragged and bragged and bragged on it and talked about how it was just the best knife he's ever had. And sometimes you watch something like that and you get a fever.
Mm-hmm. You know, throw the craving on you as well.
Throw the craving on me. And so I said, man, I got to try me one of these. So that right there is called the Benchmade 940. Now, this is going to cost you a little bit more than the Kershaw. These right here run about $180. The handle on it, what would you call that? The handle?
Carbon fiber?
The carbon, yeah. It's lighter.
Yeah.
It's lighter than this metal Kershaw here. Blade style's a little different. They call that a what? A tanto?
Yeah, tanto.
And the way it closes is a little different. It's got a little clip right there on it, so it folds down like that. But I've been carrying this. I got it about a week ago, and I It's taken a little getting used to, but I really like it so far.
Yeah, it's a nice knife. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret about Benchmade. If you ever have any problems with it being nasty, dirty, or you can't get it sharp, or there's some pieces missing off of it, broke the edge off of it, whatever it may be, you can send it back in there, replace it or repair it and send it back to you. They have a very good customer support and warranty on these knives. No questions asked, send it back in. They'll sharpen it, they'll eat some, take it apart, clean it. If they can't, they'll send you a new knife.
That's
so if you're digging through the pawn shop and you find a Benchmade knife that's got a little bit something wrong with it, hey, pick it up. If you can get it at a deal, send it back in, they'll fix it for you. Awesome customer support.
And if you're bad about losing knives, this one might not be the knife
that ain't
for
knife
you.
For you.
But if you keep up with it and want one that you can that's really gonna last a lifetime, I'd highly recommend. They got several styles, but this 940 right here is jam up. I really like it.
Now I'm gonna tell you the two knives that I think is the most bang for the buck. Now these are not my most favorite knives, but I think they are the most bang for the buck out there. And for the carry, I think the Kershaw Leek is the best value.
This knife here, $50-$60.
$50-$60, that can't be beat. And for the belt carry, the Condor brand, and I'm gonna show you the bush oil because it's
that one we carry,
is the best value out there.
And that's around $50 as
well. You can't beat those two knives for the amount of money. So, can you buy a nicer knife? Yes, but you can't get a better value.
Better value. So check those out. Let us know in the comments what your everyday carry knife is. You got a brand out there maybe we haven't heard of before. I doubt it with you, but it's possible. And tell us what kind of knives you like to use around the homestead and garden. All right, now let's get into our Q&A segment this week.
Old Mike Henderson said he lives about 60 miles east of where we do.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's closer to the coast.
Closer to the coast. He wants to know when he should start his okra, squash, and tomatoes in the seed trays.
Okay, so first of all, I wouldn't start my squash in the seed trays. They kind of get a little bit of transplant shock. They don't tend to do as well. And squash seed germinates pretty quick and will even germinate in cooler soil all right sometimes. So I wouldn't start my squash in the seed trays. Now for the tomatoes and the okra, tomatoes, peppers, and eggplant, we usually start around early to mid-February. They can take a little while to germinate, especially your peppers. So we'll start those probably within a month or so. Okra, because okra needs some warmer weather, we might wait a couple more weeks on that, maybe towards the end of February, and start our okra transplants. But it won't be long. We've got all our cool weather transplants going now. Won't be long before it'll be time to start your nightshade family and then your okra.
Yeah, on the okra, if you're trying to get a head start on the market or in your garden, you definitely want to use transplants first early on. And as the soil warms up or you're doing a summer planting or whatever, you can direct seed those if you want to. But I definitely would start with transplants to start with.
And for those of you that live in northern climates that maybe have a smaller growing window, starting those transplants is a way to make sure you get a harvest.
Yeah.
And for okra and stuff like watermelons too.
Right.
So don't wait around on your transplants. Get them started early so you can get those crops
in. Yeah, you need to go ahead and be making your preparations now, getting your seed trays, your mix, getting your seeds, getting everything lined up.
That's right. All right, let's get to our second question here from Josh McCallie. And he said he took a soil sample there in November, sent it off, come back, said he needed some potash or potassium. He added some of that, tilled it under, and now he's wanting to know, should he take another soil sample and check it out, or you think he's all right? Is the levels going to remain fairly constant between now and then?
Well, I'm assuming he's doing this for spring planting.
I'm assuming so.
So if he is, he jumped the gun a little bit on his potash. Potash is a little bit mobile. It is a little bit soluble, and it will move on you a little bit. Normally, if you got to do application of potash, you want to do it pre-plant a couple of 3 weeks before you plant instead of 3 or 4 months in advance. So he got a little ahead of himself there. I probably wouldn't do another soil sample, and I'd probably wait 6 or 8 months for that. But just keep in mind, if you do need to adjust your phosphorus, your potassium, and your nitrogen, you don't even read it on soil sample, but you need to do these 2 to 3 weeks pre-plant and not 3 or 4 months in advance like you do lime. And that may have got a little confusion there with lime. You need the lime 3 months in advance to adjust pH, but with your potassium and your phosphorus, a couple weeks is plenty.
Gotcha, gotcha. So Mike and Josh, we thank you for your questions. Everybody else put their questions in there. Mike and Josh, you'll send us an email to cusserve@hosstools.com with your address. We'll send you a nice little gift out there for participating in the show. And that is going to do it for us this week. And we're going to go out there and brave the cold a little bit.
Yep.
And get the seed room more developed. And we will see you guys next week.
Take care.
Thank you.